y'all will bear with me, I'm going to give you a sermon today. Amen? How many is going to stick with me? How many is going to go? All right. Now, if I could get the guys in the back to take this spotlight right here, I can't see the folks. If you'll just dim that one a little bit, and then and it won't reflect on these people's head right here in the front. I mean, in their eyes off of my bald head, we'll probably be all in good shape. Well, it's my turn to speak today, and I got a sermon I want to give you. I gave it to the early group, and they all survived it. They left, most of them. And I didn't get any tomatoes thrown at me. But God is good. Amen? One of the things I want to start with today is Jesus gave this scripture. How many of you know that we're all on our way somewhere? We're on a journey. Every one of us. And y'all can answer me, by the way. Amen and praise the Lord. It really helps me a lot if you have one of those. We're on our way. We're on a journey. Every one of us, if we're born again Christian, even if you're not a born-again Christian, you're on your way somewhere. You're either headed towards heaven or you're headed towards hell. But I decided a long time ago I'm going to make my home in heaven. I'm going to go there and I'm going to bring as many people as I can to go with me. And that's called a journey. And that journey is good. I heard it one time in Kentwood. A guy told me, he was reading a book where a guy had walked from Amite, Louisiana, all the way to New York City. And he was, you know, just a country boy. He said, "Man, how did he do that?" And one of the other guys looked at him. He said, "One step at a time." And that's exactly what we do. No matter where we're going, we got to take one step at a time. So today, I want to read a scripture that Jesus had some disciples. And they were asking. He told them, he said, "It's expedient that I go away." And they said, "Well, where are you going?" And he said, "We don't know the way." They said, "We don't know the way." And he said, "I'm going to tell you the way." He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." There is no other way. Jesus is the only way. You know, we need to establish that as Christians in our heart today. I can remember seeing a famous TV pastor on TV, on a TV show, another TV show, and the guy of that TV show asked him a question. He says, "Well, aren't all religions the same thing? Aren't they all like a big pyramid and they're all just trying to get to the top of it?" And he was saying, and he asked him, he said, "What do you think? Is there any other way besides the Jesus that you talk about?" And he gave him about four different reasons of other ways to go. I was heartbroken. It's like, oh my gosh, here's this man on a TV show with millions of people watching him, and he had an opportunity to speak the truth and speak about Jesus being the only way, and he flopped at it. It's like, God help me to never do that. If someone ever asked me that question, what an opportunity to tell them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Yeah. It's that simple if we will just do that. Now, today, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "How do we know the way? How do we know the way that you're going?" And that's when Jesus told them. He said, "I am the way." If you go through the scriptures all over, it's "I am, I am, I am." He even told Moses when he said, "What am I going to tell Pharaoh when he asked, 'Who is this God of yours?'" And God told him, he says, "You tell him, I am sent you there. I am." There's power in that name because that name refers to Jesus. And it says, "The way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now listen to this scripture taken out of Jeremiah. Pastor Terry gave this scripture last week. Jeremiah 6:16, it says, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls." But listen what the people said. "But they said, 'We will not walk in it.'" What a horrible connotation that is. To know the way to go and for people to tell you, "I will not walk in that way." And if you go through that whole chapter of that, you'll see where those people, all they did was reap destruction all of their life. Everything bad that could happen, happened to them because they made a choice not to go in God's way, but to go in their own way. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But I want to tell you about the way, capital T-H-E-W-A-Y, the way. And this is how it goes. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that we pick up. The early Christians, they used to be called those people of the way. The heathens would even call them that. They were people of the way. And you ask, what was the way? That was the Christ way. When those people decided to follow Jesus, everybody said that they are in the way. The only time that people were ever called Christians was in the book of Acts and at Corinth, at Antioch, and they called them Christians. But other than that, they said that they were in the way of Christ. And that characteristic is the way. Jesus' characteristic is the way. His lifestyle and everything that we do is the way to heaven. We need to initiate in our lives the character of Christ in us in everything that we do, body, soul, and spirit. Every part of us ought to look like Jesus in some way or another, in every part of it. Not just parts of it, but every part. We have to have a consciousness of that and say, every day I need to get up and I need to live a Christian life. I need to live the way that God has for me to go. And you say, well, what are those ways? The first one is the way of salvation. Aren't you glad for your salvation? You know, that word salvation literally means in the Greek, sozo. And it means to be saved, being saved, to set free. We're prosperous, that we have life, and we're delivered of this world. Amen? That excites me when I get up to know that I am a part of the way that God has for me to do. God has a plan for my life, and I can walk in His way in everything that I do. And we need to let that be a consciousness in our mind, that we follow Jesus in every way. That's why we take water baptism so serious. That's why we take giving so serious. That's why we take living a Christian life every day of your life serious, because that is the way that leads us to where we're going. Amen? That's our journey. Another thing is Jesus' teachings. His teachings. We need to stand on the Word of God. That's why it's so important to study the Word of God, to find out what Jesus did. Jesus told His disciples one day, He says, you know what? I do nothing unless my Father instructs me to do that. Unless I hear from God, I don't do it, period. And wow, we can sit back and say, well, why? If we didn't hear from God, we wouldn't do anything either. Well, a lot of people aren't really doing anything because they don't really hear from God. But it tells me that we're going to hear from God. We need to hear from God every day, that He will order our steps and order up the path that we're to walk on and to know His perfect will for our life. Amen? Y'all getting quiet on me in here. But we need to come to that place. Another thing is His works. Not that we work our way into heaven. We're saved by grace. And I'm so glad of that. It's not by works, because there are some people that can't work. But that leaves them with just as much hope as I do, because it's not by works. It's by the precious blood of the Lamb and by His grace that He shed forth in our lives that we can be saved. Amen? Another thing is the Beatitudes. When's the last time you ever heard the Beatitudes quoted or sit down and read them? You know, I'll never forget one time when I was in Israel. I went over to where Jesus sat that day, and he gave out the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Love one another. Do this. The golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I thought about that, and it's like, wow, this is the very spot that the Son of God, that literally created this earth, flung every star and every planet into space, and He was sitting there telling us, and we call it the Beatitudes. But that is the way that we need to live. We have strayed from that way in many, many ways, because we need to go back to the truth of God's Word and stand on the promises of God and understand that part of the characteristic of Christ is the Beatitudes. He is everything that we're talking about today. Another thing, He said, go out and heal the sick, open blinded eyes, raise the dead, walk on water, calm storms. You know, He's still in that same characteristic today. My Bible says, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he healed somebody years ago, he'll heal them today. If he calmed the storms on the Sea of Galilee one time, he'll calm them right now. How many of you have ever had a storm calmed in your life? Might have been recently, and you wasn't on the water. You were nowhere near it, but it was a storm in your life. You felt like you were going down, but God came to your rescue. His characteristics are still the same. And that lets you know when He does rescue you and He lifts you up out of that miry clay, that you're in the way, not in the way, but the way. Amen? There's a difference. We're going to talk about that too in a minute. Another thing He told us was to love one another. We have to love. We're ordered, if you will, by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to love one another in everything that we do. And it's sad sometimes to be around churches and they have people that go in and out the doors every day and it might have been just a little bitty riff of some type that somebody got mad with another one and this one got mad with that one. And there's so much hatred and dissension going on to where it divides the church and it gets to that place because people don't love one another. If you love one another, you will forgive one another. Can I get a better amen? If you love one another, you will not let a rift come between you and anybody. Somebody's got to be adult enough to go and to say, let's work this thing out. You know, you might have wronged me, I might have wronged you, but hey, you know what? Let's forgive one another and let's really love one another and let's be what God said we're to be. Amen? See, I believe that we're living in the last days. I'm going to just be honest with you guys. I've told you that every time I've been up here. And the closer we get to the last days, the cleaner and the more holy we are to get. Amen? We don't have time to be playing around and doing things that we shouldn't be doing. We need to get it straight and get it straight immediately. Amen? I don't want to have to hear the trumpet blow. And by the way, I believe if you got something in your life, you might hear the trumpet blow, but you might see the people leave, but you might be standing there. Now, you judge that for yourself. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to have my robes white as snow, and that means that I'm going to ask Jesus every day to forgive me, cleanse me of anything in my life, and I can stand there pure and holy before the Lord because I am the righteousness of God. Amen? Amen? And you are too. If we do that, then we're clean as we're going to be. We're ready to go. It's like, I'm ready. Maranatha, come so, Lord Jesus. Amen? But we got to keep that attitude in our lives on a daily basis and know that God has got a plan and He's wanting to do something and He wants you to be a part of the way. Because the way is what led people to the Christian walk in the early days, and it'll be the same thing that will lead people to the way in the days that we live in. When the church starts living in the way, people will be attracted to that. They will look at us and they'll say, you know what? They're not fighting and bickering anymore. They have love in their church. They care for one another. Man, one of them got sick the other day and they must have had 20 people brought pot roast. What kind of family is that? You know, that's the kind of family those people want to be in. And when they see that kind of stuff, they're going to say, these people are on to something. And whatever it is, I want to get into that family. Amen? Now listen to this one. This is in the way. You ever have somebody just get in the way? You fumble over them, you trip on them, they're in the way. Just there. Now, we got a lot of those around. This world is full of people in the way. They're not going the way that we're going. They're just in our way. And we got to understand that. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:25, it says, a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end of it is death. Is death. People have their own mindsets and things, and they want to do things like they want to do them, and it doesn't matter about people around them. And they want to do those kind of things. And we got to come to that place and be sure that we're not in the way. We need to have the same mind and the same heart as Christ Jesus and understand His ways are better than ours. His ways are a lot smarter than what ours is. So we need Him. We can't just go out on our own and do stuff because if we do, we're in the way. There's a lot of people in this world today that are not serving God because they had mediocre Christians that wanted to do it their way, and it's got these people very confused. But I'm convinced if we do it God's way, it will draw people to God. Amen? We need to understand that. Second Peter says, they have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. See, we love to know that we feel clean, that we feel pure, that we are the righteousness of God. Because He made us righteous, by the way. It wasn't our righteousness. Our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. It's a stench in God's nostrils. But when we are born again and we're walking in the way, then we are the righteousness of God. And some people don't like that. They want to live in unrighteousness. They want to do what they want to do when they want to do it. I started to name this, people do what people want to do. You ever notice that? Some people say, I'll never do that. And it's like, wow, that just come out of one side of your mouth. Probably by tomorrow you'll be doing it. And I've watched people through my lifetime and I've watched them fall into that trap. But one thing we got a purpose is, I want to do what God wants me to do. Amen? That's a good prayer every day. If you don't even know how to pray, just get up and say, God, I want your will to be done in my life. Take me, use me, put me where you want me to go, and I'm going to follow you today. Amen? That's a good way to live. 2 Peter says, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, then turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. It would have been better for them to never heard that than to hear it and start living in it and then turn away from it and go your own way. It would have been better for those people never to heard it, because now they stand in a different judgment. So what we do when we make a commitment, we need to make that commitment forever. We need to think about that, and we need to sit and say, God, I made that commitment. I'm going to stick with it. That's my vow to you, and I will follow through in every part of it. Amen? Listen to this in Luke 9. It says, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Now, some people may think that's a little bit hard, but Jesus is very committed to what he does, and he wants us to be committed. And it's important to follow out his will when he says that. Then listen to this one. It says, and another said to him, Lord, I will follow you, but let me go and bid farewell to who is at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Those are some serious words. Those are not my words. That's God's word. That's Jesus speaking right there. And he's telling us, count the cost. He says, if a man is going to follow me, let him count the cost. If he wants to build a tower, if he wants to build a house, let him count the cost before he gets involved in it. Because things change around us. And we got to be committed to say, Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to do. Now, I've never had to go through that right there. But there was a time in my life that I wanted to go spend time with my family. Of course, they didn't have nothing to do with me at the time. But nevertheless, I wanted to be there. But I had to stop and say, you know what? God says, follow me, and I will take care of everything else in your life. And I did that. For 30 years, I prayed for my family to get saved, and I did the work that God said to do. I preached the gospel. I went and visited people. I did this. I did that. And it's not me. I did that because he told me to do that. You understand there's a difference. And I did what he told me to do, and you know what? God took care of every bit of the rest of it. They got saved. They all come back. We all had we began to be a family again because God was involved in it. But I had to put my priorities where God says to put them, and that was one of them that I did. And he's challenging you today. We all need to come to that place. Another thing is, we're on the move. We're going somewhere. If we're people of faith, that means that when faith is spoken to you, a challenge is, God gives you a word, you have to take a step, do you not? If you don't take a step, that faith is dead. If God says to go and to give food to somebody, and you have food, and you watch that person just go away to nothing because they have no food, they die in their hunger, then you haven't operated your faith. You're just a fat cat with money and food. And somebody else needs the food. If he says go and clothe people and you don't clothe them and you got clothing, then you haven't operated in your faith until you start digging and getting clothes and buying and doing and begin to give that away. Then that's when faith goes. That's when the journey starts moving. If I tell you today we're going to go on a journey, does anybody want to go? You know, we have a bus that's lined up outside. It's full of diesel fuel. We're going to eat. We're going to go to the Grand Canyon. We're going to go to the Rocky Mountains. We're going to go everywhere. All you got to do is get on board and let's go. It's going to be a trip. It's going to be a journey you'll never forget. How many of you would want to do something like that? You know, most of us. Well, you know what? We are going on a journey. And we don't have a bus outside. We have Jesus inside. But he's going to put you on a journey. And he's going to tell you places to go and things to do. And you're going to have to make up your mind, do I want to do that? Do I really want to go on this journey? Or am I sitting back and just saying, y'all go and y'all have a good time. Just bring the pictures. I'll look at the pictures. I'm not that way. I'm going to get involved. Amen? I mean, when I get there, I'm going to eat the cotton candy. I'm going to look for the snowball stand. I'm going to look for the hot dog stand. I'm going to find me a Mexican restaurant. I'm going to belly up. I know where one's at in Arizona, and I know how to get there. And that bus is going to go there if it's going with me. But I'm going to go and I'm going to taste of life because life is good. Amen? But we got to go. We're missing out. Some people are missing out on one of the greatest journeys that God has ever produced in this world. Today is the Christian's time to get up, to arise, pull up our bootstraps and say, you know what? I'm on a journey and I'm going somewhere. And I'm going to exercise my faith. And I'm going to bring somebody with me. And we're going to have a good time while we're doing it. Amen? You still want to go on a journey? Another one? I'm going to skip down. Let's go down. I'm going to go down to this one right here to where some people don't want to go on a journey. I want you to listen to the difference here. It says, but when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. Here's Paul. For 3 months, he's sitting with these people, and he's teaching them, expounding the truth of God, who Jesus is. He's telling them in detail, trying to woo their hearts and show them, I'm showing you a better way than what you've been living. God has got a plan for you. He wants to come into your life. This Jesus died on a cross for your sins that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Won't you come? For 3 solid months, the Bible says, he stayed there teaching and preaching the Word of God, touching these people and laying hands on them and believing God for them. But right towards the end of it, it says some of them got up because of the hardness of their heart and said, no, we will not go. And the Scripture also says they made a big commotion out of it to do that. Besides that, they came and told them, no, we'll not follow you. We'll not go with you. We're not going with you. We don't know what you're talking about. You're mad. You shouldn't be telling us stuff like that. And the Scripture says they hardened their hearts about those things. What a sad commentary to have to preach the Word of God and somebody hear that. I'll never forget one Sunday night I was preaching, and they had a guy that lived across the road over there at that old, you know, the old bridge that used to be on Flannery? Some of y'all never knew that. It was the only bridge I've ever seen in the world in a curve. The bridge was literally curved like that. And it was a horse place over there, and this guy was at this church that night when I preached. And I knew that he was lost. And I gave an invitation, and he came that close to getting saved. And he would not do it. He just flat refused to do that. He got in his pickup truck and left and was driving down Flannery Road, and they had a horse jump that fence and jumped on the hood of his pickup truck, came into his truck and decapitated him. That was a sad commentary, and it's like, how can somebody be so close to the truth and turn it away and go their own way? But people do it all the time. I've done some crusades with Billy Graham. I used to be one of the counselors at the altar, and I'd watch people come, and they'd be broken, and they'd come, but they would not pray that prayer and ask Jesus to come in them. And you feel so bad for them because you know the outcome of it. If they don't accept Christ, that is the day of salvation. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Amen? You say, well, every day is a day of salvation. That's right. But when God's knocking on your heart, when He's pounding and He says, I want to come in, I love you, I have a plan for you, and we say, no, your day of salvation just ended. And we can't do that. We cannot afford to do that. And that's why I'm preaching hard today. It may make some of you mad, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to let you go out of here without knowing the way. Amen? It's important that we know the way. And it says in 2 Thessalonians, it says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. That's the moving of the Holy Spirit. You say, who is he that's going to be removed? It's going to be the Holy Spirit. There's going to come a day one day when God's going to remove the Holy Spirit from this earth. You'll no longer get that knock on your door. You'll no longer have that peace. You'll no longer have that joy. You'll no longer have any of the things of God because he's not here. He's going to move to a different place than where we are. And it's expedient that we know him, that we know how to hear him, that we know how to feel him, that we know how to obey when he says to do something, that we immediately go and obey. Amen? That day's coming one day. And it says, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. People don't mind blaspheming our God today. I mean, I can remember when I was a kid, people would take Jesus Christ's name in vain or God's name in vain. Still do. It hadn't changed much. But nobody ever got up and shook their little bony fist in the face of God and says, I'll not come to you, and I don't care what you do or how you do it, I'm not going to do what you say do. But we're seeing that. People are blaspheming God. We're living in that day and age where God haters are out, and they're out of the closet. Just like everything else is out of the closet except for Christians. We've not come out yet. We got to, as Christians, come out of the closet and say, you know what? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I got a message. I know the way. I know the truth. And I know the life. And I will die for it. I will live for it and I will die for it. But I'm not going to stay in the closet and keep my mouth closed anymore. It's time for the church to get up and do what we need to do. Amen? The truth. Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. You know, he had a progressive order in all of this. He said, I'm the way. I am the way. I am the truth. And you say, well, what does truth look like? I just happen to have it right here. This is truth. If I can get it untangled. Y'all know what that is? That's a plumb line. It's called a plumb bob. I don't know why they call it a bob, but it is. It's just basically a string with a heavy weight on the end of it. And it is a perfect vertical level. Everything about this thing is perfect. I took this plumb bob right here when I built my house. I built my house every board of it. And I plumb bobbed every stud in that house. I had strings I stretched across the walls, down the walls, so they didn't look like that. Everything in that house I built, and I built it with that plumb bob. You know why I did that? Because I wanted a straight house. I didn't want a crooked house. When you go to nail a picture on the wall, it's cocked over. When you're going to try to put wallpaper up, you know, and you're a quarter inch off over here, and it's a foot and a half off in that corner, and you're trying to line up the lines. Anybody ever done that? You been there? You know what I'm talking about. You want a straight house. Well, if we want a straight house, why don't we have a straight life? And there is a way to have a straight life, and that is the Word of God. Because the Word of God is truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And everything that Jesus said is truth. He said, the truth I am, and I give it to you. He says, he that knows the truth will set him what? Free. And he says, I give you the truth. And if we start lining up with the Word of God and what He says, we will live a life that is pleasing unto the Lord. Because we're going to be judged one day against this truth, not the truth that you've heard. I'm amazed at some of the TV shows that you hear and people try to quote Scripture and they're so far off, it's like, where did that nut come from? They don't have a clue what they're talking about at all. Now, I mean, I'm a preacher. I make mistakes too once in a while. I might get Noah on off the boat into the desert, but you know me. You know where he's going. But I'm talking about people that ought to know better, and they don't do it because they don't know it. It's easy to slip a tongue once in a while and say something wrong, but when you don't know anything and you're teaching that, you're in big trouble. Because one day we're going to have to stand according to the Word of God. And the Bible says the soul that sinneth will die. Period. That's in the Old Testament. That's right. It's in the Old Testament. But I'm going to tell you what. You're going to stand before it in the New Testament too one day. It says, he that believeth not shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That is a truth. And we need to come to the reality and know the truth and what it says. Our lives are dependent upon the truth. And Jesus is the truth. Amen? I mean, we got to come that way because you know what? We can sit around and the way it is now, y'all have heard it. Y'all get phone calls just like I do. We get them from the left and we get them from the right. But if you get them from the left, guess what? This thing is not a level anymore. It's just off in Neverland. If you get them from the right, sometimes it's way off on this side over here. But you know what? It's time for Christians to come to the place and say, you know what? I am going to live by the truth of God. Not by what other people say, not where they try to lead me, but what God says, I'm going to start living by that truth. Amen? And if you do, then you're going to have a life that is lined up with God in every part of it, body, soul, and spirit. You'll know Him and you'll know the fullness of it because you know the truth. And the truth will set you free when you know that. You have a fruitful life in everything that you do. But we got to live by His standards, not our standards. His convictions. You know, our convictions in this world have changed dramatically in the last 5 to 10 years. What we used, the Bible says in every dispensation, it says everybody did that was right in their own eyes. They took what they thought was truth and they live according to that. And it's wrong. Everybody, now they're calling good evil and evil good. That is a different standard than what we as Christians live. If we're going to live by the Word of God, we got to live by the truth of God. Amen? It's important. Somebody please say amen.
Amen.
It's the plumb bob of our life. It's the truth that sets us free. It says, there's a lot of people that never are able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They turn their ears away from the truth. You tell somebody, I mean, John the Baptist went and told Herodias, he said, you know what? You're living with your brother's wife. You know what it cost him? His head. Because you know why? He told the truth. And there's things that we don't want to lose our heads over, so sometimes it's best to don't say nothing. Just let it alone. Maybe it'll die out. But how many of you know it hadn't died out? Since the 60s when the flower children were here and they wanted to have free love. Woo! They wanted to do drugs and they wanted to have sex in the streets and everywhere else. It started and everybody said, well, just leave them alone and they'll die out. Well, guess what? They never died out. Many of them are congressmen today. They do not practice the truth. They exchange the truth for a lie. That's why they're trying to take the Bible, prayer, and everything that we hold so dear to ourselves out of school, out of the public, out of everywhere. Wipe it out. If they can wipe out the truth, then what they believe, they'll get away with it. And God help the next generation of people that come up. We can't afford to do that. But the key thing is, are we truthful with ourselves? When's the last time you just went and sat along with God and said, God, like David did. David, yeah, he committed adultery. He did a lot of things, but the Bible says that he loved God with his heart. And in fact, it even says David was the only one. It says he was a man after God's own heart. He really wanted what was right. But he's a human being just like you and I. And he messed up. But yet when he did, he came back and he said, God, search my heart. See if there be any evil way in me. And if it is, God, forgive me of that. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me, but lead me into your ways. Lead me into your ways. See, that's a prayer we all need to do. But you know what this world has become? It's so self-centered about everything. You know, there's a new word that they're fixing to put in the dictionary. I just heard about it. It's called selfie. Y'all know what a selfie is? That's when you take your little iPhone and you put it on camera and you turn at it and you do one of those glamour shots because you're magnifying yourself. You know, when I was a kid, we had a Kodak and we called it a Wee-E. You know what a Wee-E is? That's when you get a whole bunch of folks together and we are going to take a picture, a group. That'll come to some of y'all in a minute. Yeah. It was a Wee-E that we took. It was about everybody. It was about who can we bless and who's going to be in the group right here. But now we've become so centered, the Wee-E group is over here and the selfie is over here. Praise God. This last part, and I'm going to let y'all go, is the life. The life. You know, why in this world can't they see the life? You get up every day. I go out of my house, and I probably could see a gazillion things. Y'all know how many a gazillion is. That's a lot more than what we owe China right now. Maybe not. Maybe pretty close. But a gazillion things that's full of life. The grass is life. The trees are life. The air. I was watching the History Channel one day, and they were talking about life living in the air that we breathe. Isn't that encouraging? You know, you're sitting there right now just sucking the air in, and it's got little things in it. And they go in and out of you like that. And you blow them, and they're out there. You can't see them. They're everywhere. The water is full of life. Everything that we look around is full of life. Only our God can give life. You know, you may say, well, I belong to a different denomination or a different religion. Well, big deal. Your God can't give life. And besides that, your God has nothing to do with eternal life because it had nothing to do with eternal life. My God gave His life that you and I can have eternal life. Amen? Jesus says, I'm the life. I'm the life. I'm the one that's going to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. That's why we can sit around in storms and things that would happen to us and we can sit there relaxed and saying, you know what? My God is still in control. I don't care what nobody does in this world. My God is still there to give me life and to give it to me more abundantly. No other denomination, no other whatever you call it can do that. Not one of them. And another thing is, we have the only God that reaches down to us and says, I love you this much that I gave my Son to die on a cross that you can have life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should have eternal life. Eternal life. See, our life is not just going to go to a little certain spot and then quit. We're just beginning this. I'm a 45-year-old Christian, and I hadn't even begun to get into the abundance of it. And when I'm dead and gone and my eyes are gone, I can't wait to see what's on the other side. If it's this good on this side, and we're not a part of this, we're supposed to be in the world but not of the world, and if it's this good to live over here with God, how much better is it going to be to live in the kingdom of God? Amen? Amen. He's the one that gives us life, the creator of life. His handiwork is everywhere. The trees, the air, the water, everything. No one else can do that for us. Believe He's the way, the truth, the life, the only one, the great I am. And you say, well, boy, that was a simple sermon. You know what? It don't take much. Most people want to complicate the gospel. But I've learned when I just believe the unadulterated word of God and I receive it into my life, I get everything He's got for me. And you do too. And all we got to do is believe. And I believe today that He is the way, and I need to live in it. I believe that He is the truth, and I need it more in my life. I believe that He is the one that gave me life, and He gave His Son that I get that life. How about you? You want that life? Okay. I want everybody to stand up and let's pray. If you're here today and this is a message that touched you and you'd like to come and get me to pray for you, I want you to come. I'm going to release everybody else. I'm going to be standing right down here. But if you haven't been experiencing the way, or you're just in the way, and if you want to change that, today is your day. If you don't believe the truth and you've been living half-truths, and by the way, a half-truth is a half-lie, we got to come to know the truth and walk in the truth. And if that's not part of you, then you need to make a decision today. And if you're not experiencing that abundant life that God's promised us, that life, you need that today. I wouldn't leave this building without it. I just told you a story about one guy that left and he didn't get it. And I hate that with all my heart because I know that guy. And I know what happened to him. And that thing every now and then comes back to me. But I don't want to see anybody ever go through that again, ever. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we come today, Lord God, and we thank You, Lord, because You are the way. Even as Your disciple says, Lord, sometimes we don't know the way, but You remind us, Lord, because You said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, we come to You today because we know to get to the Father, we have to go through You, Lord God. And what a joy, what a privilege it is, Lord God, to follow You in all of Your ways, in all of Your truth, Lord God. Father, today, Lord God, we come, every one of us, Lord God, with our hands lifted up as a sign of surrender. We come to that place, Lord God, and say, use us, Lord God. We surrender, Lord God. Examine our hearts, see if there be any evil or wicked ways. If it is, let the convicting power of the Holy Spirit touch us today. In Jesus' name. And we thank You and we love You, Lord Jesus. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Well, go home. Go get you some food. Thanks for coming. And we'll see y'all next week.